I'm going to make some applications. I'm going to say anything amazing. I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to preach a wild sermon. I'm not going to be swinging from the rafters. Just listen as I talk to you about this issue of darkness. First of all, as a pastor, it's my job to make sure your eyes are open and you understand the dangers of darkness. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm to warn of the darkness that's out there. This is the listen to what is said here in Acts 26:18. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And that's Paul speaking. Paul was saying, it is my job as a preacher of the gospel to help people to open their eyes and realize there is a darkness. And that darkness, you have to deal with it cautiously, and you need to be aware of it. Paul was to win the lost to Christ. What is that? The lost are in darkness. And when they're won to Christ, the light of Jesus Christ moves into them. Now, hey, you know, I know some Christians that struggle some with their spirit and struggle some with some depression. You're not supposed to live there. But I want to tell you something. If you're a Christian, thank God you have Jesus Christ inside you. If someone that struggles terribly with depression that's not saved, wow. Do you understand? They don't have the light of Jesus Christ in them at all. Now, you may struggle a little as a Christian with some depression, but I've got good news for you. It would be 10 times, 100 times worse if you did not have Jesus Christ, the light of the world, inside you. But here, the Apostle Paul said, it's my job to open their eyes and to help them to turn from darkness to light. Now, there's two applications to that. Those that are lost are in darkness. We want them to turn to Jesus and be saved. But those of us that are saved, let's be careful that we don't let the darkness of the devil overshadow the light of Jesus Christ that is very obviously a part of our life. And so, that's a part of a preacher's responsibility. I love the song, The Lighthouse on the Hillside. What's it talking about? There's darkness out there, but wait a minute, there's a lighthouse. Our church, what's it supposed to be? A lighthouse. We're to be saying to a dark world, there's hope. What are we as Christians? We're to be lighthouses, and we're to be shedding the light of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. So, but let me say again, first of all, as a pastor, it's my job to help us to realize there is a darkness, and that we're to be cautious of that darkness. Number two, Christians are not to live in darkness. They're not to live in darkness. Let me read a verse to you. In John 8:12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We may have touches with darkness, but we're not to live our life there. You have moments of darkness, but you're not supposed to stay there. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Hey, don't live like this dark world. Don't think like this dark world. Do you understand the dark thinkings of this world today? I can remember back when I was growing up, there were some spooky shows on television. Most of you that would watch a spooky show from when I was a teenager would laugh all the way through it today. Our monsters were stupid, and you'd think, nothing bad about that. Do you understand how morbid, dark, and evil things have become in this day? Everywhere you go, it is just, it's gotten pretty weird, and it's everywhere. Folks, you and I, we are not people of darkness. We're people of light. We don't think like this dark world. We're not to live like this dark world. I don't think we ought to go where this dark world goes. Our teenagers are hear me say this every so often. Boy, they'll go up on the second floor of the church. I'll tell you, if I go up and there are teenagers up there, I'm up there flipping lights on everywhere I go. And I want them to stay in the light. I want them to stay where people can see them. If you don't want to get in trouble, stay where people can see you and stay where the light is. You notice the most trouble comes where it's dark. It's just dark. As a pastor, I'm to tell you about darkness. And Christians are not to live in darkness. Thirdly, Christians are not to fellowship with darkness. Now see, I'm not to live in the darkness, but I need to be very careful fellowshipping with darkness. Listen, and we miss what the entirety of a verse. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6:14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" It's talking about communion. It's talking about fellowship. Hey, folks, you and I should not be yoking up with darkness. If you're going to start a business and you want a business partner, don't start a business. You're light. And if your business partner is lost and on their way to hell, that's darkness. God is saying light should yoke up with light. You say, well, who's going to yoke up with dark? Let darkness yoke up with darkness. But Christians, we don't yoke up that way. In marriage, let me warn you, you're going to get married. You better marry somebody that's saved. And marry someone that lives at the level of light that you live at. You say, see, I don't think saved people and lost people are supposed to get married. I think that's not scriptural. But I don't think that's all of it. I also believe that if you're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, separated, sold-out, dedicated Baptist, I don't think you ought to be marrying somebody that says they're saved but won't even come to church. And they don't even serve God. And they don't have your standards or your morality. You should marry at least your level of light or up. And some of you can analyze that because I don't have time to teach it all. But I just know some people that say, well, they're saved. Well, nobody can tell. You're going to marry him. No, it should not be that way. So the Bible's teaching, just we're to be careful not to fellowship with darkness. Number four, the Bible teaches there are some people that love darkness. They love it. Listen to what it says in John 3:19. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light." The Bible actually teaches there are people that love darkness. I think there are people that reject the things of God, and they love rejecting the things of God. Now, I can't even hardly perceive that. That makes no sense to me. I can't see why anybody wouldn't want free salvation and free heaven and everything that goes along with it. But the Bible's true. So the Bible tells us there are people that love darkness. I don't think there's anybody here like that. But let me warn you, you should not be a darkness lover. I actually know people that if they get themselves depressed long enough, they almost want to go there. They want to go to that dark spot and go to that dark hole that they can dig for themselves emotionally. You are not to love darkness. You ought to despise that darkness, and you ought to want to come out of it. But hey, does your behavior give the impression that you like darkness? We shouldn't like darkness. Evil deeds are a sign that we are lovers of darkness. And the reason I say that is because it says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now remember, folks, sin is what you and I do, that it's a breach of the law. It's something that we do where we hurt ourselves. But evil, now that's far worse. Evil is when we're hurting other people. Evil is when we're drawing others in to help them hurt other people. And God said, you get involved in evil, you've got a touch of darkness going on there. And be careful, because the Bible actually says there are some people that love darkness. So, a pastor should warn of darkness. Christians are not to live in darkness. Christians are not to fellowship with darkness. And we have to be warned because there are actually people that love darkness. Now, number five, you know, according to the Bible, darkness has a power to it. Darkness has an availability of power. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" Huh. So darkness has a power. Hey, I've got good news for you. The light is more powerful than the dark. And we have Jesus, and He can give you victory, and He can help you, He can sustain you, and He can help you to do whatever you need to do for God. If God wants it done, Jesus can help you to get it done. But there is a power of darkness, and I'll recommend to everybody here, Do not play with the power of darkness. Don't play with that. Stay away from it. Look, if you know somebody's dark in their behavior, I'd retract myself. You know that something is dark. I'd retract myself. I wouldn't be dabbling in the witchcraft and the dark things that are available out there. Young people, watch what you get yourself into. There is a power in darkness. And people seem to think that, well, I can get involved in this or that that's wrong and I'll be okay. You're going to be shocked at how powerful darkness can be. And that one thing I could prove to you is pornography's that way. Pornography is dark. Let me tell you, it's powerful. It's powerful. Though I hope it's not true, there could be somebody sitting under the sound of my voice right now that said over and over again, I wish I could get away from it. I tried, but I went back to it. And then I tried to get away from it, and then I went back to it. You say, why? Because there is power in darkness. It's a powerful thing. So what do? Run from darkness. Run to Jesus. Keep your life and your family full of light. Darkness is powerful. There's some music that is very dark music that's very powerful. I can remember when I was growing up and some of the rock music I was listening to, it really had power over me. I mean, some of you that you've been there, say amen every once in a while because we all know it's addictive power. It's addictive power. You try to get away and you can't, but you know that you should. It's addictive. That's a power. There's a power, according to the Bible, there's a power in darkness. Satan is the prince of the power of darkness. Don't give him any power over you. Every little power he can get over you, he certainly will. But don't give into that. And again, thank God the power of God is greater than the power of darkness. And if you want to overcome the power of darkness, you're not going to do that in your flesh, by the way. You're going to have to do that through the power of the Word of God and the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But darkness is a real thing. And again, when I was out there on that ship, it's about 4:30 in the morning. I was the only one out there. And I looked out and it was so dark. That scared me, Brother Young, more than the hurricane, more than everything else. There was a darkness that almost had a personality. And I thought, that's eerie. And folks, there is a darkness. And as a pastor, I've got to tell you that. And I've got to tell you, be careful, be careful. You're not to live in darkness. You're not to fellowship in darkness. Stay away from anybody that loves darkness. And remember, darkness has a power about it. The Bible teaches that you and I are to fight against darkness. We're to fight against it. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness." You say, "Pastor, you know, we had a whole bunch of people here today, and you always have to throw a fit about something. You're always up there throwing a fit, and our visitors heard you get mad about this and get mad about that." I have to tell you why. We've got to stand against darkness. I know we had visitors here today, and I know, but I had to go into a little tirade, and I had to talk about adultery, and I had to talk about fornication. I'm not doing that to hurt anybody, but if somebody doesn't warn against darkness, everybody's going to live in it. They're going to fellowship in it. They're going to have their entertainments there. Somebody's got to say there's darkness. The politicians don't want to talk about darkness. They want everything to be neutral. Nobody wants to say anything about it's wrong. Folks, there is still a wrong, and there's still a right, and there is a light, and there is a darkness, and we are not to stay neutral about darkness. We're to fight against darkness. Here it said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness." We wrestle. Now, I don't know about you, but when I wrestle, I'm wanting to win. Go to battle with the darkness. Hey, you go to battle with the darkness that tempts you. And we as Christians in a church, boy, if the Lord lingers, I have to tell you, folks, there's a lot of darkness out there. You and I, as a church, church members, we've got to continue to stand against the darkness. No matter how much the world wants to say the darkness is okay, it's not. And they're not going to like us very much when we say there is a darkness. It's out there. You know, the Bible says in Romans 13:12, it says, "Cast off the works of darkness." We're to fight against it. people that are what we would call, there are those that work darkness. God pronounces a woe to them. Listen to this. Isaiah 29:15, it says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in dark." Here the Bible is talking about workers of darkness. Now, anytime God uses the word woe, He's not trying to slow His horse down. The word woe in the Bible, that's God saying, you better watch out. For me, if my dad had, if I'd push my dad as far as I need to push my dad had his way of getting my attention. God, the way he tries to get our attention, he says, "Whoa!" What he means is, you better stop that. You're not going to get away with that. And God says he pronounces a woe in the Bible in more than one place over this thing of darkness. Folks, let me tell you, if you're not saved, you better get saved. You say, why? If you don't get saved, you will die and go to hell. And God would say, look, I'm going to put a woe out there. You will die and go to hell, and you will spend an eternity in hell if you don't get saved. God only puts up with so much. You say, a loving God would never send someone to hell. No, He wouldn't. They'll send themselves. They send themselves. But God would say to you, woe now, don't you go rejecting my Son. Woe now, don't you go rejecting salvation. It's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But let me tell you, God pronounces a woe on darkness. God doesn't like darkness. You say, why? It's the exact opposite of Jesus. Did you know that when we get to heaven, we will not need light bulbs? You want to know why? Heaven will be lit up by Jesus Christ. And there won't be any darkness. Let me give you a couple points and we're done. The Bible actually teaches there are some who lead people into, and they are leaders of, darkness. Ephesians 6:12 speaks of the rulers, plural, of darkness. Now, teenagers, you look up here and listen to your preacher for a second. If you ever find someone that comes to our youth department and their deeds are dark, I want you to be kind, but I want you to stay away from their influence. You stay away from that influence. Almost every church has at least somebody that would lead people into darkness. And it doesn't. That's just the way it is. The devil tries to get people to lead folks away from Jesus Christ. But may I say to everybody here, if you know somebody that would lead you into darkness, or they're leaders of darkness, stay away from them, and don't you ever be a leader of darkness. Are you allowing yourself to be influenced by someone that's dark? You say, what's dark? Well, the rejectors of the light. They know that Jesus would have them to do a certain thing, and that's what the light of the Bible says, but they choose rebelliously not to do it. That's darkness. That's darkness. Now, I'm going to finish up. And my last point may be the primary reason that I wanted to preach this sermon. It's an amazing thing. We would all say, boy, preacher, I know what you're talking about. Talk about darkness and people that are deeply involved in drugs and the word in the Bible, the practice, the witchcraft in the Bible comes from a word that is the word pharmakia, which is where we get our word pharmacy. It's enchantment by drugs. And you say, yeah, well, I've seen some of those music groups, and they just look evil and dark and mean and vicious. And preacher, boy, we want to stay away from that sort of a thing. I agree. But may I say, the Bible teaches that hating another Christian is dark. It's dark. 1 John 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. You say, you mean if I hate one of my Christian brothers, you're saying I'm dark like the evil, nasty, vile of the world? I didn't say that. God did. God did. 1 John 2:11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Isn't that amazing? Does that tell you how big of a deal loving the brethren is? Thank God, our church, we all get along. I don't know of any tension anywhere in our church, except for it could have been over the peanut butter pie that was over there. There wasn't enough, and I realize that. But let me tell you, we look at darkness, and we are talking, you know, we all think, yeah, that nasty Hollywood, weird, nasty, vile, you know, all of that. Now, God says darkness is when a Christian does not love their brother like they ought to love their brother. And they do not love their sister. And I'm talking about your Christian brother, your Christian sister, and it wouldn't hurt brothers and sisters to love one another. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Folks, if you hate a Christian, you are clueless to the way you're supposed to be behaving. You need to get that straightened out. Darkness. It's a very interesting thing. The words used in Revelation chapter 16, verse 10, it talked about the devil or the beast, and it said his kingdom was full of darkness. Do you know that is the exact opposite of what the kingdom of Jesus Christ is full of? The kingdom of Jesus Christ is full of light. The devil, the beast, his kingdom is full of darkness. And to whatever degree you are full of light, you are full of Jesus Christ. And we are to shun, run, stay away from darkness, which means you and I are going to behave differently than the rest of the world. Let's do right. And what a great, great Savior we have. He shed the light in our hearts. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Watch that darkness. Watch it. God warns us. He says it's real. And be careful of it. Don't be hiding everything all the time. Get it out there in the light where it can be seen. And it'll shed the light of honesty and truth on it. Boy, that'll keep you safe. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I've been challenged. I see the importance of light in our lives and avoiding the dark things of life." And folks, let me tell you, if your entertainment is dark and your friends are dark and your music is dark, don't be shocked if you don't end up with a dark way about you. You're going to find yourself depressed. You're going to find yourself not knowing which way to go in life because you can't see in the dark. You get that light in your life. And so, Christian, get the light in your life. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Let Jesus Christ come into your heart. And get that light of Jesus Christ within you. The first question is this: are you saved? Is there anybody here that would say, "Preacher, pray for me. Don't know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you? All right. Is there a Christian that would say, "Pastor, I want to get that light in my life more. And I've learned something. I've been challenged. God's given me something in regard to this issue of darkness in my life tonight. And I certainly want God to be pleased with how I respond to this sermon." Would you raise your hand and let God see that? All right, you can put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, maybe you need to pray for someone that tends toward the dark side. Maybe you need to rethink some of your entertainments and things like that and figure out, are you got a lot of darkness in your life? Then no wonder you struggle some like you do. Get that light in your life. You say, "It's deep within my emotions." Hey, I'd get all the scripture I could inside me. Why? That light will lighten up your attitude and your spirit. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Watch out for darkness. Darkness is evil. Darkness is dangerous. Full of darkness, God said. Preachers are to warn of darkness. Christians are not to live in darkness. We're not to fellowship with darkness. Some people actually love darkness. Darkness has a power attached to it. Now, we are to fight, wrestle against that darkness of life. Those that are involved in darkness, God pronounces a woe on them. He says, "Watch out now, I won't put up with that." Don't ever become a leader of darkness, and don't let somebody that's dark lead you. And then God comes along and says, if you don't love the brethren like you're supposed to love the brethren, He associates that with dark behavior. Christians ought to love one another. This will be the last time through our song. Thank you, folks.